Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, glad you're with us. It is a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here at Jaguars Today, just kicking off live at Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Tony, it's all in the rear view now. All the playing for position all comes down to the decision of Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley on the final few roster spots for these guys.
Yep.
Playing their guts out last night. But, you know, if they don't make it here, maybe they make it on the practice squad. Maybe they make it on some other team's practice squad or 53-man roster. So good luck to these guys. It is their careers, some of them, maybe in the balance. And some of them may never play another snap of NFL football preseason or otherwise. That's kind of the nature of this time of year.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I've had the honor of being on, you know, Friday Night Lights for the last 5 years doing that post game. And it's kind of cool every year to be doing that show. And, you know, you're talking about a bunch of kids that most of them aren't going to play anymore football, right? You know, they're just, and it's still high school football. They're just out there to play because they enjoy the game. And the kids who get to move on to college, and then that rare group that gets the opportunity to go play in the NFL. Look, it's week four of the preseason for most of us. It's kind of a meh. You know, you just kind of roll your eyes at it. It's like, let's get it over with so that we can get to the regular season. But for a lot of guys around this league last night, I mean, there's going to be something like 700 players cut between now and Saturday. And for a lot of them, that's it. You know, that's the end of the road for a lot of these guys around the league. It's a heck of a story, a heck of a journey for a lot of them. And for the guys who make it, what a fulfilling chapter, too.
Wow, you're right. 22 times 32, right? I didn't even think of the math on how many guys are going to be on the street. It is nearly 700, or maybe even slightly over 700. I can't do the math that quickly. I'm not. Tony, I'm not the voice of the Episcopal Eagles, so I don't have those.
I'm not technically yet.
Well, you will be. I think you are. You just haven't debuted yet, by the way. Balls Davis will rue the day he ever cracked open the door for Fat Tony to take over the play-by-play duties tonight.
We'll see about
that. Are you excited about it?
I am excited. I mean, it's my first opportunity. I've never done play-by-play before, and it's something that I've wanted to try for a while, so excited to get out there tonight and get it done. Episcopal going to be at Savannah Country Day tonight, and so I get the long travel.
Do you know anything about Savannah Country? Like, are they good? Are they considered to be one of the better teams?
I don't think so, no. And Episcopal,
they're going to get the beating today?
Episcopal's been a big play offense here for the last year and a half or so, and they continued that last week with a 44-0 win over my alma mater, Wolfson. I mean, crushed Wolfson last week, and it was a bunch of big plays. I think they had 7 first downs in a game where they scored 44 points. To give
touchdown
you an idea of what
Eagles.
Their offense was
doing. There yeah, it is. There it is.
To give you an idea of what their offense was doing. So I expect some explosive plays tonight from Episcopal, and it's a throwback thing. And I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. You know, their quarterback is named Brunell. They have an offensive lineman named Baselli, and their tight end is named Baselli. And the idea of listening to a game where Brunell throws a touchdown or multiple touchdowns to a Baselli is kind of a weird thing here in the city of Jacksonville, but it's what we got at Episcopal every week.
There's got to be a Smith on that team, right? I mean,
there has to be a
Smith. If not,
one out of every 144.
Exactly.
Smith or Jones.
All right, so Tony will debut tonight with the Episcopal up in Savannah. So another short day for you today, huh?
Yeah.
Today, well, obviously we're going to talk a bunch of Jags football, and really what we want to do is focus on, you know, where we were 4 or 5 weeks ago approaching this team and how we feel about them now. And that's what we're asking you today. That's a fan feedback question of the day. And we'd really like some feedback on this, not only on social media, but we'd love to hear your thoughts on this if you want to expand on it. The question is, have your expectations changed for the Jaguars in 2015? Good or bad? Maybe they've stayed the same. But if they have changed, why have they changed? What are the factors? What are you seeing on the field? Hey, probably a lot of people say, wow, very bullish about the offense. I think we're going to win more games because Blake Bortles looked phenomenal. There's probably people saying, you know what? A defense, man, where was the first team defense this preseason going up against other first team offenses? Not that impressed. My expectations are dropping. So I don't know what you're thinking out there. We'll share our thoughts on that as we go on throughout the next couple of hours. But we certainly invite yours as well. 641-1010. That's the phone-in number, of course, and it's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL and at 1010XL Fat Tony. Let's get into it. 9 days away oh my goodness, we'll be out of our minds by this time next week, as we'll just be on the brink of kicking this thing off. But if you want to talk about, you know, final roster positions, as Dan brought up Corey Grant, Tony, we talked a lot about him and Brian Walters, obviously, last night on the pre- and post-game shows, and they both shined last night. And Brian Walters, I thought it would have taken not only a bad night by him, but a really spectacular night by Tony Washington to make that an interesting roster competition. Washington had a couple of catches, but double caught him. You know, wasn't smooth. Walters just more sure-handed, brought in everything that was near him very cleanly, scored the touchdown last night, got the fist bump from Gus Bradley coming off the field. Got to believe he's a lock as the fifth receiver.
You would think so, and we wondered who was going to take advantage of the opportunity when Aurelius Ben unfortunately got hurt, and it looks like that guy's going to wind up being Kevin Walters, and it should be. Right, Brian Walters, excuse me. It should be, and we talked about it before the game last night.
Why do I keep, who's Kevin Walters?
He's the white receiver for Houston, right?
Is that who he is?
Yeah.
The taller guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was. All right. I'm not sure he's still in the league, but Brian Walters is the guy that's here in Jacksonville.
Because a couple of times in the last 4 weeks, Brian Walters,
yeah,
yes.
It's Brian. Kevin Walters is like the 6'3" guy that played
But there was a receiver named Walters. Okay,
yeah.
So I'm not going crazy.
He might have been the one that dropped the ball going into the end zone that turned out to be the fumble against Jacksonville like 5 or 6 years ago, where he just dropped it before he got in the end zone. I can't remember if that was him or not, but I know it was somebody on Houston's team that did that. But, look, I think Walters last night looked exactly like he has through the first 3 games of the preseason, right? Everything you threw at him, he caught. He made a couple of difficult catches, one where the guy was in contact with him basically when the ball got there. His touchdown was one where the ball wasn't thrown in the right spot. It's on his back shoulder. He still makes the play. It makes it a little more frustrating when you see guys that you expect a lot more out of than Brian Walters on this team not make that kind of play. It's the NFL. Again, we say it every week, but you're allowed to make the more difficult play.
Yes.
You're allowed to do that in this league. Brian Walters did that last night, and looks like he's earned himself a spot. And Tony Washington is a guy that I thought had a chance when this camp opened and shined early, but here in the last couple weeks has just slipped a little bit, and that's probably going to be enough to cost them an opportunity.
Yeah, Washington looked good, you know, prior to camp, and he practiced well. Every time I saw him, he was making plays out there. But
he was good in the scrimmage. I thought he was good in the first couple weeks of the preseason. That drop week 3.
Big drop, and then, you know, just not sure-handed with the balls last night, and Walters just catching everything, just sucking it in. If the ball got to his hands, it wasn't going anywhere but into his grasp. All right, if you want to get on board, you know the number, 641-1010, and all the ways to get on board. I'm Mike Dempsey. He's Fat Tony. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Jaguars, let's get ready. 9 days from kicking this thing off. This is 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Who's Mike Dempsey talking to at the Metro Diner chat counter? Find out on Jaguars Today. 10 to noon weekdays on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
It is a 47-yarder from the left hash for new kicker Jason Myers out of the hold of Brian Anger. Play clock at 3. They get the snap off. Myers hits it. Plenty of distance. And he drilled it.
It was just another kick for me, but, you know, it does give me a little bit of confidence, you know, heading into pressure situations in the regular season, so I'm excited for that.
Oh, Jason Myers. Tony, he has never missed a game winner in the fourth week of the preseason.
Never
missed it.
Perfect.
Perfect. Never missed it. Were you a little bit nervous for him when he pushed that first one right and it didn't look like he really flushed it? I mean, honestly, were you a little bit like, you're like, oh, just really one missed kick. Even if he had missed the 47-yarder, doesn't mean he's not going to go on and hit 35 out of 36 this year, right? But did we really need 9 days of, oh, no, what did we do? What happened?
I know.
What went wrong?
We don't have to worry about it.
Well,
he made the one that counted.
Well, they both would have counted, but he made the one at the more crucial time.
Yeah.
Right? The must make.
Crunch time.
I don't know about that.
Week 4.
It's a degree. It's a degree of crucial. It went from 0% crucial to 0.1% crucial
at that point. The kickoffs were good again. And
kickoffs were good.
The extra points look good. So
extra points were fine.
There we go.
All right. His stoic demeanor is intact as well. Not a very excitable guy, and that's what you want, right? And your kicker. What you don't want is you don't want a Gramatica jumping up and tearing his ACL.
No.
Right? That was Bill.
Yes, it was.
Back in the day.
Against the Giants.
Was it against the Giants?
It was a, it was a field goal to give them a 3-0 lead in first quarter.
It was.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, poor Arizona. That was the Cardinals, right? Arizona
yeah.
Cardinals?
Yeah.
Arizona Cardinals.
Heck, they might have been Phoenix at the time. I can't remember.
I don't know if it was. You know, it's funny you say that. I think today was the day that they played their first game as the Phoenix Cardinals. We'll have to wait till this date in football history to confirm, of course, but that may be coming up a little bit later.
Yeah, it was like a 42-yard field goal to give him a 3-0 lead in the first quarter.
Wow.
That he tore his ACL.
A little over-exuberance. I'll take the stoicism out of Jason Myers, and may he nail many straight down the middle. All right, today, 6-4-1-10-10. Let's get to it. Really want a lot of feedback today as Jaguar fans. Next week we'll be focusing on the Carolina Panthers and getting ready for the start of the season. But just as a whole, looking back over the last 4 to 5 weeks and how you felt about this team, maybe coming out of OTAs, heading into training camp, and what your expectations were then, think of that and think of how you feel about them now. Are you feeling more bullish, more bearish? Are you encouraged because this offense can overcome a multitude of mistakes in your mind? Or, you know, are you worried that this defense may not have quite the pass rush that they had last year and you're missing some key guys already? So whichever direction you want to take it, we'd love to hear from you today. 641-1010, and that is also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line if you'd like to weigh in. If you entered to get a spot in one of the fantasy leagues for next Monday or Tuesday, mm-hmm. as I told you yesterday, but I'm just reminding you, email invites have not been sent out. I've started the process of sorting people out. I'm making a Tuesday pile, a Monday pile, and then I'll sift through and cycle it down. We only have, I want to say, about 8 spots in each league, right? Because Carney's coming. Well, actually, maybe a little less. We got Carney coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's coming back, despite the fact that he bailed on us to go to the West Coast.
Yeah.
It's you, myself, Carney, in each of the two leagues. Tyler's going to play in one of the leagues. Lauren Brooks is going to play in one of the leagues. So that's 4 in each league. And then the defending champs are invited back. I've heard back from one, so he's definitely back.
So 7 and 8 right now?
Possibly 7 and 8. Could be 7 and 7 when it's all said and done. So it could be as few as 14 people getting selected. And I'll just tell you now, if you're in one of the listener leagues that we had last year, chances are your odds are not going to be good because we want to share the wealth. Same thing if you're in the Hacker Fantasy League. Your odds are not going to be good because there are only so many spots for the leagues that we run through the station, and I feel like we should give as many people as an opportunity as possible.
Yeah, but that's not the only opportunity you have to play fantasy football with us this year.
Heck no.
We obviously have the two listener leagues that we'll be drafting next week, but we got FanDuel.com. We're going to be doing a weekly league there, too. Just $5 to get you in.
FanDuel.com/Mike.
That's right.
We'll take you straight to our league that you'll go head-to-head with us.
Get you in. We got 250 spots a week open, so get on in there, guys.
Right. If we fill it, the prize pool is going to be over $1,100 every week. So $5 a pop, you're going to make more. Trust me, because we got more people that could play, there's a bigger prize pool, you're going to make more off that than any other game, any other weekly game you hear about here on 1010XL. Yeah, there's a little bit of a rivalry going on. I want more people signing up for our league than anybody else's league. I hope they all fill, Tony, but we have more spots.
Yes,
so
we do.
We have more work to do. So go to FanDuel.com/Mike and get signed up. And the contest, it doesn't start until Sunday. So Thursday's games not included. They don't include Thursday night football and Monday night football. It's all Sunday slate of games, and we're going to do it every week. And so what we'd like to do, I'm going to see if we can create a special leaderboard just for the people that play every single week in our league. I don't know if we're able to do that. I'm going to go to FanDuel and see if they can do that. And that way, if you're playing every week, you'll see, you know, if you post in the top 5, top 10 over the course of the season, maybe we'll drum up something for you in the way of
yeah.
prizes. But the main prize is you can win straight cash, homie.
Yeah, there's cash involved
cash.
With this game.
Cash.
The listener league, we're just having fun. Right, we may give you a t-shirt. Like,
that's right. Right. Here, FanDuel.com/Mike, you win straight cash. And it's our cash, too. We're putting our own $5 in.
Yep.
So if you win first place and take home, let's say, $200 for your $5
trouble, 10 of that's from
trouble,
us.
10 of that's from us. Exactly. Thank you very much. And it pays out. I want to say, if we fill the league to 250, it's going to pay out to like 40 places deep. So you'll double your money if you finish in the top 40, which is not bad either. So watch for that. Listen for that. Well, let's get to the phones right now, Tony. And we'll start our day here with Morgan on Jaguars today. Good morning, Morgan. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing today?
Good. What's up?
Man, I was just listening, and I wanted to weigh in my options on how I view the season. And at first, you know, when I would say after training camp, when preseason was rolling around, I was thinking 6 wins this year would be attainable. But with all the injuries, like Julius going out, Cyprian getting hurt, and then now Julian needing surgery, you know, watching the offense through the preseason with Bortles improving, I really think that 6 wins is still attainable and maybe even more when we get Julius back. It just depends on how we start the season. But I wanted to hear your take.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Look, Tony, I'm encouraged by what we've seen from Clay Harbour and Mercedes Lewis. But let's not forget, there's a reason they got Julius Thomas. He's a difference maker. And I think one of the biggest areas, these guys have shown they can catch the ball. And you can say anything you want about Mercedes Lewis in the past. He's had a very good preseason, right? Yes, he's had his problems with drops over the years, okay? A lot of guys do, but he has. But Julius Thomas is, when he's on the field, by nature of his reputation, going to draw double teams. And that is going to open things up for other guys. Who do they have right now that's going to command a double team? Maybe Allen Robinson? Maybe undeservedly so, because he really hasn't lit the league on fire, but that's probably where the extra attention goes right now. So right now, it may be a little bit harder to get Allen Robinson off to a fast start. Let's see. Now, let's hope that's not the case. But Julius Thomas being on the field, and you get Allen Robinson rolling, then your choice is going to be, which guy do I focus my attention on? And you play right. This game where you play them off of each other. That's where I think you miss it. I think Clay Harbour has shown he can get open. He can catch the football. He had the one drop, but he's remedied that since then and done very well. So I'm not worried about these guys catching the football. I'm worried about them not having a big enough impact to help the rest of the offense out. And that's why you spent $8 million plus a season on Julius Thomas.
Look, we talked about it when they signed Julius Thomas. I love the way that fills out the tight end position for this football team. Not only do you bring in a guy who's a big-time playmaking threat in Julius Thomas, who can occupy that middle part of the field, who's been so good in the red zone the last couple of years, back-to-back dozen touchdown years.
Only
right?
Tight end ever to do it.
You do that, that puts Mercedes Lewis in a position where he can be more of a blocker for you, that second tight end, where I think he's going to be more, you know, a more effective player in that role than he has been the last couple years as the number one tight end. It's a more effective role for Mercedes Lewis here, and Clay Harbour is that change of pace guy. Instead of being what Mercedes was being asked to be this year, you know, Clay Harbour is just asked to come in every now and then and be that receiving threat that they need when Julius Thomas needs a break, or when they want to get both those guys on the field at the same time and get that kind of size and athleticism. It gives them opportunities to create matchups that they haven't had the kind of chance to create in a long, long time, maybe ever, in Jacksonville from that position when Julius Thomas finally gets back and healthy. But the thing it does for me most, you love having Julius on the field, but it's the role you can put Mercedes in because it's so perfect for him to be that guy who can stay in and block. And then when it gets down to a 3rd and 2, when you can keep Julius and Mercedes on the field at the same time, and teams don't know if Mercedes is blocking or receiving on that play, that can be such a vital weapon at times for this team this year. I'm really interested to see how that's going to work out.
All right, it's 3rd and 1 at the goal line, Tony, on the 1-yard line. You've got Tyson Alawal and Toby Gerhart in the backfield. You've got Lewis and Thomas on opposite sides
right
of the line of scrimmage. You got Allen Robinson out wide. You got three, you know, the basketball team out there. So you've got the fade possibility. You've got the quick little button hook possibilities with these guys. Tough to stay with Julius Thomas in a short space. And then you've got what we saw very effective in the first couple preseason games, that power, bam, we're coming right at you with Alawalu leading the way.
And they haven't shown any of it yet. All they've done is run the ball out of that formation at this point in the preseason. So
exactly. Whatever
they have planned to do off of that play, they haven't shown anybody yet what that might be.
All right, let's get to Darren up next this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Darren. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Great. What's on? What's
hey,
on your mind?
Just two things right quick, man. I wasn't a big fan of the Scobie leaving, but I understand why. And I also kind of had this theory on why it could have been. I know this was David Caldwell's call, but don't beat me down, Mike. I just was thinking maybe
right.
It could have been. I was thinking maybe it could have been that David Caldwell was going to try to keep Gus and the boys honest by putting in a you know, rookie kicker. That way you won't rely so much on the kick, but maybe get in for the touchdown. That way to help you generate points. And my second thing was, does Cap Cathy make the team? And if so, how much of a role do you think he would actually have in the defense? And I'm going to take it off the air with that.
All right, you got it, man. I got that on the text line as well, the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Is Cap Cappy going to make it? What more can he do to prove he belongs? First, going to the theory, I won't beat you down, but I'll say I disagree 100%. First of all, I think they're more inclined to kick it now. In fact, when they get across the 50, now they're thinking, you know, we don't have to get to, I don't know, 35-yard line to feel confident about it, or whatever yard line. Now, as Dave Caldwell said early this week, 45-yard line, we're in scoring territory. I think they're actually going to be more aggressive with how they use Myers compared to how they use Scobie. So I don't think it was any kind of message sent or trying to, you know, play some psychological game. That's not, you don't play those kind of games at this level. You're not trying to trick Gus Bradley into going for it more instead of settling for field goals.
Look, you guys went over all the reasons for the move with Scobie earlier this week. He's a guy who's going into a contract year. It's $3.5 million for a kicker. He's the fourth highest paid kicker in the league. And Scobie's been a good kicker for a while here in the league. Jacksonville, he has a reputation that I'm not sure that he has everywhere else. When you look at, and again, I wrote about this earlier this week, three times in his career, he's finished top five in field goal percentage. That's 3 years out of the 11 years in his career. Four times, I think, in his career, he's been top 10. So what I'm trying to say by pointing out those numbers is Josh Scobie is a good kicker in this league. He's not a great kicker. He's not an elite kicker. He's a guy that's got a big leg, and so does Myers. Right, and if he can put up those same kind of numbers, I mean, even those years 11-13 when Scobie was putting up, you know, 90%, he was hitting basically 90% of his field goals. That was good enough to be like eighth in the NFL in field goal percentage. It's really good numbers, but that's what the league is at the kicker position right now. You make 90% of your field goals, or you don't play in the National Football League, and I think the Jaguars made a business decision based on that kind of thing and where that position is in the league right now.
Honestly, I think they think he's better right now, too. I just think they think Myers is a better...
He's young.
He's
young, and he's cheap, and the leg is just as big, if not bigger.
I think it's bigger. And as Tony put it last night, you know, and he may have misclubbed Scobie on this one, but he said, you know, Josh kicking those 50-something yarders is hitting... It's like hitting a two-iron, right? You try to... It's everything you got. Can I reach the green on this really long par four? Whereas Myers is young and he's blowing it past him off the tee and he's hitting 7-iron into the green from the same distance. What that means is he can get that distance with less effort. And what that allows you to do is the more you really try to put something into it, sometimes you kick it low because you feel like you got to drive it.
Sure.
And sometimes you're so focused on hitting it as hard as you can that accuracy suffers. I think they feel like Myers at this point has more effortless power and therefore should be more accurate in addition to just having the longer leg as well, the stronger leg. Cap Cappy will save him for after the break. We got to take a timeout. If you're on the line, we'll get to you next as well. It's 641-1010. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. We'll talk Cap Cappy coming up. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
First down Jaguars. Receivers to either side for Morris. Grant the running back. They'll give it to Corey. Corey's got a lot of room into the secondary. A lot of room into the secondary of the Redskins. Corey Grant is going to go 40 yards for a touchdown, Jacksonville. Boy, is he explosive. And the Jags an extra point away from tying it up.
We always knew he had great speed, you know, and for him to have the ability to show it tonight, you know, in some of those long runs. He really played hard, you know, and hit the holes and really didn't look back. So I think it was eye-catching.
Eye-catching. Corey Grant. Got that eye-catching speed. Cap Cappy's had that eye-catching pass rush at times in the preseason, Tony. I mean,
yeah.
First game, he kind of came on with a splash and closed it out, or came close to being the final play to close it out. Got pressure again last night, got a sack. Another one of his pressures helped Chris Smith get a sack. And I'll let you really weigh on this because I said my piece on the postgame show, but just in a nutshell, Cap Cappy to me is at least a practice squad guy because I don't think you have what developmental pass rush do you have on this team if you presume Chris Smith is on the active roster. There's a team that's seeking pass rush everywhere. You got a guy, all Cap Cappy can do is play against the guys who line up against him in the preseason. 10th string, first string, or any other string in between. And he's made plays. I don't expect he'll be on the 53-man roster. But I do expect that he'll stick around on the practice squad. He showed a burst in pass rush, and this team desperately needs it. What do you think?
Well, I think it's an interesting spot because of how much they've lost you know, at that pass rush spot. I know Dave Caldwell, talking to you earlier this week, talked about the three guys that they felt like they'd be relying on most from a pass rush perspective aren't going to be here to start the season, with Andre Branch being out, with Sendarek Marks, who knows what he's going to be to start the season, and they draft Dante Fowler Jr., and obviously he's out for the season as well. So they're in a predicament when it comes to trying to find something out there on the field. Chris Smith is being talked about as a guy who's going to play a lot of first and second down. Right now at that Leo spot, Chris Clemens is a third down guy. You like the role that you have for Ryan Davis, and I know a lot of fans are clamoring to get him more and more playing time. I don't know that he's a more effective player with more playing time, and I think they get to see him every day in practice, and the fact that they're not talking about expanding that gives you the idea that they like the role they have Ryan Davis in, and they don't want to, you know, shake the cart on that one. So it creates opportunities for other guys on this roster. I could see a way where Cappy is a part of it. I don't expect him to be a part of the 53-man roster. I certainly think he's done enough that he deserves to stick around here as at least a practice squad guy and potentially continue to develop. But they have issues. Look, they haven't been able to rush the passer in the entire preseason, and the most effective guy they've had right now has been Cap Cappy at getting after the passer in the preseason against whoever the heck he's going up against. It doesn't matter. He's been the most effective guy they got. That has to at least be a consideration for a team that is missing the top three guys that they thought they'd be depending on to get that done. It has to be a consideration.
Right. I don't think either one of us would be completely shocked if he did make the team. I don't expect him to. And
me
in fact,
either.
I mean, I would bet heavily against him making the team. But you have to, because the importance of pass rush, you have to leave open at least the possibility of that. But I think we both agree the 53-man roster, maybe not, but the practice squad, very likely, in our opinion. Let's get Slow-Mo Jay up next, 641-1010. Where you been, Jay? How you been?
I've been all right, chilling. How y'all been?
We're good. We're good, man. What's going on?
Oh, I'm good. But I got three things I want to hit on. One, defense. Two, offense. I'll take the comments right off the air. The one thing on defense is, why isn't Mike Evans starting over John Persipian? He's a way better intimidator than Jonathan Shepard.
Josh Evans, but yeah, got the point. All right, and what's your next question?
Yeah, you know who I was talking about. But
I knew that. I was just making sure everybody else did. That's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, and with the offense, I'm not too worried about it, because if you notice, when Mercedes Lee was just had a good year, it was the ball placement from David Garrard. He learned how to get it up high for him to get it, and he's the only one who can get it. And I think Blake Bortles has start to do that, so I'm very willing to see what's going to happen this year. And the third one I just completely forgot, but go Jags.
All right. All right. Thank you. Go Jags is the third one, Tony. Josh Evans, I don't think, is more intimidating hitter than Jonathan Cipri. I don't know if either one of them has earned the reputation yet of being a particularly intimidating hitter, but I think they feel like Jonathan Cipri is going to be a lot more physical player as time goes on, and as, you know, he feels more comfortable now, and hopefully if Sergio Brown plays well on the back end, or James Sample ultimately plays well on the back end and frees up mentally Jonathan Cipri to have, you know, more responsibility moving towards the line of scrimmage, I think you'll see some of that out there. I think, though, the injury to Craig Lawston makes Josh Evans a potential guy that they keep around, depending on the timetable we get for that injury. You haven't seen anything on that this morning, have you?
I have not yet.
Gus said that, you know, they're going to take a look at the ankle. He hurt his ankle last night very early in the game, if you're watching or listening to the broadcast here on 1010XL. And, you know, there are very few guys out there that you're like, wow, that these guys are going to be in the heavy part of the regular rotation. Because, you know, linemen, you don't play backup linemen. You don't offensive linemen anyway. So there are a few defensive linemen out there, and Ziggy Hood was one of them. Plantar fasciitis coming out of the game, as we learned last night. More affecting the heel area, Tony, of the foot.
Yes.
But, you know, I think Josh Evans, had Craig Lawston not gotten hurt last night, I think Josh Evans is on this football team. I think it's unlikely that he is, but now we don't know. What if it's a 3-week injury to Lawston, right? Do you go in to the season? Maybe you do, but do you go into the season with Cyprian coming right off a hand injury, with Sample, who's played very little, and with Sergio Brown, and that's it, at the safety position? I don't know.
Probably not. Probably not. And again, that's the crunch in the numbers here on this 53-man roster. We talked about it at pass rush just a moment ago. There's several spots where they're having to do that because of the injuries that they're dealing with, whether it be on the offensive line or now in the secondary with the safety position, depending on the health of a guy like Lowenstein and how much they liked him, right? I mean, they're having to deal with that in several spots. You only got one short-term IR spot. So are a bunch of these guys about to go on IR just so they can make the roster decisions a little bit easier for themselves? I don't know, but obviously a lot to decide between now and tomorrow.
All right, 641-1010. Let's go back to the phone lines and welcome Desmond to Jaguars Today. Good morning, Desmond. How are you?
Hey, how are y'all, man?
Great. What's up?
I got two things I want to say. Yesterday I was impressed with the linebacker core. Forgot his name, the dude with the interception, but he got called back because of holding.
Armbrester. Yeah, Armbrester.
Yeah, him. And he almost had another interception of James Suffolk when he had had a big hit on the tight end. And I was really impressed with him and the other linebacker with the Hawaiian hair when he was on, I think it was on
Yeah, John Lutulele, yeah. He almost had a pick, too.
Yeah, he did. And plus, also, on the goal line, number one yard line, he had blew up that tight end, center, and pushed back Matt Brown. And I think that was really impressive. And then I like to take this off air. I think the pass rush is going to be okay with the backups that we have. So I don't want to say we are Jaguars. Let's go.
All right. Well, thank you, Desmond. We appreciate it, man. A lot of the same guys returning. But what's not returning, and I don't know if it will return this year, is the burst of Cinderic Marks, right? I mean, we use the example of Geno Atkins, Tony, because I think they're similar players. Physically, very strong guys, but they've got such quickness for big men that they're able to get quick penetration in the line of scrimmage. It causes a lot of havoc because quarterbacks hate guys at their feet, okay? If you rush them off the edge, they can step up in the pocket and kind of walk right past you as you're going by them. If you're coming right at them up the middle, then you're getting a chance to move them off their mark, and most quarterbacks are a lot less comfortable when they've got to slide their feet sideways instead of stepping up towards the line of scrimmage. And if Cinderic Marks is not that explosive player, he may just be good. He may just be an average defensive tackle instead of the guy who was the best player on this roster last year and a guy who should have been in the Pro Bowl last year.
Yeah.
So without
it affects
that,
everything.
It does, right?
It affects everything.
Like, we're talking about Julius Thomas opening things up on offense, and Derek does that for the defensive line.
Look, we were talking about Andre Branch just a couple weeks ago with Jeff Loggeman, and, his assessment, and I happen to completely agree with it, he's a cleanup guy, right? Andre Branch isn't a guy that's been creating opportunities for himself. He's a cleanup guy, which is why, when they brought in Cinderic Marks and Clemens and all these guys here over the last couple of years, you're like, well, you should see other guys improve. And you saw how much better they got on that defensive line last year with Clemens out there with Cinderic Marks, right? Because of the opportunities that a guy like Marks presents to everybody else on a defensive line with his ability to get pressure in the middle of the opposing offensive line. And without that being out there, where's it going to come from? They don't have anybody that's winning one-on-one right now. They don't have anybody that's doing that. Chris Smith is a guy who cleans up when things go wrong. He cleaned up for Cap Cappy last night on the sack he got in that game in week four of the preseason. They have a bunch of guys who are good at that. The guy that they have that is their creator of pressure is not there, and we don't know when he's going to be healthy enough to be there. And the other guy that they drafted to be a creator of pressure isn't going to be there all season long. It's a big question mark for this team where the sack's going to come from.
All right, 641-1010. We'll continue to take your calls. We got texts coming in the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. We will get to those as well. And this state in football history straight ahead, as well as the drive around the NFL. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It is a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry and by the songs of Engelbert Humperdinck. That's what happens when Fortunato comes in and starts talking music with me, Tony. 1966 on this date, the Houston Oilers hold the Denver Broncos to no first downs in the entire game.
Whoa.
Oh, that would have been a barn burner. 45-7, I guess the Broncos maybe scored on a kickoff returner on defense, something like that. Mm-hmm. 1988, the Phoenix Cardinals played their first regular season NFL game. Now, of course, the Arizona Cardinals after moving over from St. Louis. 1994, Tony, a couple of milestones. The Browns became the first team in the National Football League to score what? What did they score?
Safety?
They scored 2 points after a touchdown. 2-point conversion.
Oh.
That's when they instituted them in 1994. And also in 94, Miami quarterback Dan Marino threw 5 touchdown passes on this date in the Dolphins' 39-35 win over New England, setting an NFL record with his 18th game of 4 or more touchdown passes. Marino also holds the record as being the starting quarterback who started the most games in which his team has lost, 62-7. And that is this date in football history, brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located right there on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, maybe you want the Stop Snoring Somnomed Mouth Guard. Absolutely a life changer there. Certified Invisalign provider, or you just need a family dentist, Dr. McCall's the call to make. 620-9225. Visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
New York Giants defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul reportedly finally going to meet with the medical staff of the Giants and give them their first look at his potentially mangled hand next week. The Giants have been waiting to see the hand since JPP injured it July 4th weekend. Pierre-Paul was extended a franchise tag by the team in March but has not signed it yet. The two sides are expected to meet next week and then make a determination on when he might be able to get back onto the field. Washington has been doing a countdown on social media to the team's opening day, the same way that many teams around the league do, posting how many days remain until the opener and then including a picture of whichever player on the roster wears that particular jersey at the time. For instance, a couple days ago, it was 11 days away. They had a picture of DeSean Jackson.
Makes sense.
Number 11, the wide receiver. That means that yesterday, it was 10 days away, and we all know who wears number 10 for the skin. So whose picture did they slap up there? No, not Robert Griffin III, but Trent Williams, number 71, the left tackle. If there is a more dysfunctional organization in the NFL right now, please point it out to me.
Maybe they're saving RG3 for when there's 3 days for the start of the season,
my
right?
Goodness.
Are they going to focus in on the Roman numeral on the back of his jersey?
I don't think so.
No, probably not.
Probably not.
They can't keep him, can they?
No.
If he's cleared medically, he has passed the concussion protocol, and independent neurologist has to say he is able to return to football, because if they cut him while he's injured, it could go a whole way where they owe him his entire salary and the rest of the contract.
Sure.
So they want to give him a clean bill of health, Tony, but then if he gets hurt and has any kind of long-term injury, they're going to be on the hook next year. His contract in 2016 is guaranteed for injury. So if he were to get hurt, they're going to owe him $16 million next year. Clearly, Jay Gruden wants nothing to do with RG3 at this point.
And if he plays, he's going to get hurt.
You're like, right.
That's just his history. If he plays, he's going to get injured.
Right. He doesn't know how to protect himself. He's never been good at sliding, really never slides at all. And he's a skinnier quarterback. He takes just these massive hits. He pats the ball, ends up holding the ball too long, doesn't have the quickest release because of that. And, yeah, I think
there's no way you could put yourself in a position where you put him back on a football field in a Redskins uniform.
Unless
you're prepared to pay $16 million to keep him next year.
People are like, well, man, no one's ever going to pay that kind of price to get a quarterback again. Well, you know what? If they had traded up, if they'd been able to garner the top spot that year and gotten Andrew Luck, nobody would have questioned, was it worth 3 first-round picks and
right.
a second-round pick, right?
But they couldn't.
Imagine if Blake Bortles turns into a Pro Bowler, say, for the next 5 years. He makes a Pro Bowl. 5 years from now, would you take anything for Blake Bortles when he's still in his 20s and he's been to 4 Pro Bowls? No, of course not. So there's no price that's too high, practically. I mean, within some degree of reason, but certainly 4 draft picks is not too high.
No.
If you have a true franchise quarterback, a difference-making franchise quarterback, which he looked like he would be during his rookie season. So, RG3, where does he land next? I mean, does he go to Houston? Does he go, you know, to Buffalo? I could see Rex Ryan taking a shot on RG3, but I wonder, Tony, if he passes waivers simply because nobody's going to want to claim that same condition where they pick up that contract where they're on the hook for $16 million next year. I don't know if anybody's
right.
going to claim him under those circumstances, but maybe you do, and you throw him out there and you say, you know what, we're going to roll the dice, and we'll have him this year for $3-4 million, whatever it is. And if he proves to be a franchise guy, well, he's worth $16 million. That's, you know, but I don't know, even at this point, with the preseason done, if Buffalo were to pick him up, they're not going to bench Tyrod Taylor this week. He may never get on the field there. So I got to believe, even if they release him, he's going to clear waivers.
I would think so. I don't see, look, there are quarterbacks that get bounced around this league, right? I mean, you bring up Buffalo, the fact that Tyrod Taylor is going to get the opportunity to be a starting quarterback in this league after being a backup for 4 years and really never seeing the field. And he's on a roster with a guy like Matt Cassel, who's been bouncing around the league for a while too. There's that handful of guys, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who keep going to different spots and being given opportunities. And it feels like because of the way that since he injured that knee in that playoff game against Seattle, the direction that his career has gone, that RG3 is turning into one of those guys where there's always going to be this, yeah, but did you remember he had that flash, right? Like, he's always going to be one of those guys, but you don't pay $19 million for that flash until he flashes for you.
No.
So the odds that he doesn't clear waivers, I think, is pretty low.
Right.
I mean, you'd have to think so. And as soon as he's healthy enough for them to put him on waivers, like we said, you got to. You can't risk having to spend that $16 million yourself.
Ian Rappaport reporting that Darnell Dockett has been released from San Francisco. Hmm. Now, Darnell Dockett, was it last year they had a torn ACL? I know he's coming back from a torn ACL. It's not a good sign. I mean, he got released, but Darnell Dockett, Tony, is a penetrating three technique type disruptor. Darnell Dockett's a pain in the ass to play against, and he's got a mouth on him too, but that's an intriguing guy. Now, you got to wonder, why didn't San Francisco keep him around? I mean, you know,
sure,
penetrating pass rushing defensive tackles are not easy to come by, so you got to wonder if he's got anything, you know, in your mind. You think, oh, Darnell Dockett 2 or 3 years ago, yeah, this team could use that guy. I don't know what kind of shape he's in right now. And judging by the fact that he didn't survive final cuts, I'm guessing he wasn't all that effective for San Francisco. Didn't really follow him that closely. Tony, do you think the Jags have a chance to beat the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, I think they will beat Carolina.
So do I, okay? We're going to have to come up with a nickname for you because I got mine. Here we go. From the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, Jags still don't have a snowball's chance in hell to beat the Panthers. I do like all the sunshine and rainbows y'all are spitting to your fans. Not a Jag hater, just a realist. Hashtag keep pounding, hashtag pooping rainbows, although that's not exactly how it was spelled. And then he said, he called me Mike the Meat Man, because I'm selling the hell out of that bologna. Now, thank you very much. That wasn't from me. That was from the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Tony, I did, when the International Grocers Association, otherwise known as the IGA,
mm-hmm.
had a little store down in downtown St. Augustine right across from Flagler College. I may have worked there in my college days, and I may have actually worked as a meat cutter. I wouldn't call myself a butcher. I think a butcher probably actually has a lot more skill than I did. But I could cut you a mean steak back in the day,
right?
Although the bologna came prepackaged, so I never had anything to do with slicing any bologna. But selling it all,
that meat,
I will peddle the hell out of some bologna, and I will cut that meat. That's right. I do. I mean, look, you don't have to think they have a chance. That's fine. Maybe you're right. Maybe we're wrong. Not a snowball's chance in hell? That was a 7-8-1 team last
right.
year.
They went to the playoffs. Who do you think they're playing?
They were 7-8-1. They had a losing record, and they won their playoff game because Arizona was down to, like, their 19th quarterback.
Yeah.
And nobody at quarterback.
They were down at halftime against Arizona.
Who was their best playmaker last year? Clearly Kelvin Benjamin.
Yep.
Clearly Kelvin Benjamin. Where is he? Oh, done for the season, right? I mean, who at all puts any fear into you from that wide receiver core? Devin Funchess hasn't played a snap in the National Football League. I'm not buying that, and he's been nursing a sore hamstring all preseason.
Yes.
Don't even know if he'll play, honestly.
I mean, they're talking about him and Jericho Cotchery. Those are the two guys that they're looking at throwing
Corey
out there.
Brown. I mean,
right.
A bunch of just guys.
James Stewart was awesome.
Jonathan,
excuse me, at the end of last season. That last month and a half, he was one of the best running backs in the
league.
He's
got great talent. He's never been able to stay healthy.
So they got that. If he's, again, we never know with Jonathan exactly what you're going to get from him. And Cam Newton's obviously a talented guy.
Well, he's healthy this year, too, but he's dangerous.
Yeah. And look, I'm not saying that I think Carolina is some kind of pushover.
No.
I don't think, look, they're a 7-8-1 football team from last year that I don't think is much better than a 7-8-1 football team.
Right.
Like, I just.
It wasn't like they were a 12-4 team disguising themselves
right.
due to a few bad breaks.
It felt like the Saints might have been a 10-6 football team that had some things go bad. Right. And Carolina is a 6-10 to 8-8 football team that happened to be in position in a bad division to make the playoffs last year. And they're losing their best offensive playmaker this year out of that whole thing. So, yeah, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars absolutely can beat Carolina here at home. Yes.
You're not going to be insulted if I call you Baloney Boy.
No.
Are you?
Plus,
Meat Man and Baloney
right.
Boy.
And I think that, I think that Carolina's been a very good defensive team, but I do believe in the progress we've seen from this Jaguars offense in the preseason. And I think that they can outscore that Carolina
offense.
That's
what I'm saying, too, as well. So, hey, you know what? We'll find out 9 days from now, but I'm bullish on the chances to go 1-0. So if you want to call me, Sunshine Pumper, well, I guess you'd already did. Let's go to the phones and say hello to Jerome this morning. Hello, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Great. What's up?
First off, I want to say I think the offense looks like a real NFL offense this year. I mean, it's like night and day. It looks so much better. And that Grant, I think Grant should be – I hope he makes the 53 because he deserves it. And then the last and not least, but – the kicker, when he missed that field goal, oh my goodness. The only thing I thought about was Scobie. And then I heard, like on his last try, I heard Mark Brunell talking about, oh man, I hope this kid makes this kick. So he had his fingers crossed. And so, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on him this year. I really
there's
do.
There's no doubt.
Because,
yeah, you're right.
Man.
Yeah, there is. But, you know, I understand Mark's. It wasn't like Mark didn't think he had the ability to do it. I think you say, look, man, I just hope for his sake. Could you imagine if he misses a 54-yarder, then misses a potential game-winning 47-yard attempt after they cut the guy that the fans love for the last 11 years? That would have been tough on him. I think he was thinking more, you know, for this guy's
sure.
mental psyche. Look, I mean, Tony, we'll find out, right? I mean, he could have kicked six of them from 62 yards last night, and none of that proves that he will make them during the regular season. None of it proves he won't. The die has been cast with Jason Myers. Now let's go find out. He's got the ability to do it, and can he take that ability and put it into use and not let the circumstances of the moment impact, you know, whether or not he comes through?
Sure.
I love the fact that he's so damn boring. I really do. He says, oh, yeah, you know, I kicked it, and I hit it pretty good, and I thought you know, we get 3 points from that. I mean, he's like Belichick of kickers, man. But you don't want, as we said earlier, you don't want the guy who's going nuts and you're riding that wave of emotion up and down, up and down.
Absolutely,
It's tough to ice a guy who's already icy, right? And I hope that's going to be the case with Jason Myers. Hope he can play like that this season. 641-1010 is the number. Also, the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday since 1905. Claude Nolan Cadillac serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer in Northeast Florida. You got to love the Claude Nolan Edge. Absolutely no dealer fees. It's amazing. No finance markup. The largest selection of new and used Cadillacs in Jacksonville with an on-site body shop that will paint and repair all models. Claude Nolan Cadillac is guaranteed to offer you the highest level in customer care and service. The elegance, the experience of driving a Cadillac just one step away. Start to build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com. Or better yet, stop by 4700 Southside Boulevard. Tell them Mike Dempsey sent you. They're going to take great care of you no matter what kind of car you're in the market for. 642-5111 is the number for Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. Back with more of your calls, texts, tweets, and otherwise Jaguar opinions. It is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. They call me the seeker. Apparently you can't sing anything on the break, Tony, without it coming back to get you. That's right. I tend to sing on the break. Are you kind of glad? Maybe you're not. I'm kind of glad they never put the webcam in here. Or maybe they did. You know what? And they just didn't tell me.
We just don't know.
We just don't know. It's been streaming us all this time on Jaguars Today. Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday, we are glad you're with us. We are glad that the preseason games are completed. Roster cut down by 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Yes.
Right? our boy Spinner Howland with the Jacksonville Axemen keeping his eye on Jarrod Hayne.
Yeah.
As Jarrod Hayne was discussed extensively with Spinner and Jacksonville radio legend Mike Dempsey earlier this summer. At least that's the way it was portrayed on an Australian news Facebook page, as they're going nuts for that guy right now. And what a fun guy, man. He's really, how do you let him go?
I don't know. He's been so effective as that punt returner.
If nothing else, as your punt returner, who wants to tackle that guy?
Nobody.
I'm telling you, man. And, you know, he's had his moments running the ball as well.
Yeah.
Certainly you could see him as a short yardage guy. Carlos Hyde owners in fantasy leagues don't want to hear that. But
nope, but reality is reality.
Hey, exactly.
Teams aren't making decisions based on your fantasy prospects.
He has been, and they should, but they don't.
No.
Is the unfortunate
No, they certainly don't. And I know the texter that we were talking about a few moments ago calling us crazy, and we went into the Carolina game, which we'll talk about a lot next week, obviously, with them coming to town, pointed out, well, they did go 12-4 the year before. Yeah, and their defense slipped like 15 spots. From one year to the next. So, you know, they had problems on offense.
Guess what? Hardy didn't play last
year. Which is why
Gonzo.
Right. Which is why they went and got Kelvin Benjamin in the first round of the draft. So their offense got better. Their defense slipped with the loss of Greg Hardy. He's still not going to be there. He's gone. They haven't replaced that pass rush. And in fact, they just lost another pass rusher
a couple weeks ago.
So, no, I don't think their defense is going to be all that much better than it was last year.
No,
really
not that. It's good. It's a good defense.
It's still fine.
Right. It's not. Look, nobody's saying the Jags are just going to toss them all over the field. Well, I'm sure there's some giddy Jag fans that are saying that, but
it'd be nice if they did.
We think they're going to win the first game. I mean, at some point, you know, you got to have a little bit of a leap of faith. It's going to take a leap of faith. And look, if you're in the category of, until they show me they can do it, I'm not going to believe it. That's fine. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
It's not what I think, what you think, what anyone thinks is going to happen has no bearing on what actually
happens. No, it really
doesn't.
And for all those out there that are like, I'm going to wait, I'm taking the wait-and-see approach, that's completely fair. Yeah. I would tell you that what's the good of a prediction if you don't make it before it happens?
Wait 9 days and see the Jags beat the Panthers. That's your wait-and-see approach.
I think they're going to beat Carolina. That's my prediction. I think they're going to beat Carolina. And if I'm wrong, it's just the 1,000th and first thing I've been wrong about doing sports radio.
Exactly. It's only the 370th thing I've been wrong on, however. Let's go back to the phone, 641-1010. Siddell is up next here on Jaguars today. Good morning, Siddell.
Good morning. Good morning.
What's up?
I just want to comment on the thing about the Jaguars playing Carolina. I'm totally believing that the Jaguars are going to win. This team looks better than it's looked in a long time. The offense is clicking. The defense is doing what it needs to do. And I just want to, you know, encourage everybody to send the support our team, because finally I think we have something we should be happy about and proud about with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Go Jags.
All right. Thank you, Siddell. Appreciate it, man. That's pretty succinct, and there you have it. Look, the support, I don't question the support, man.
Me either.
The fact that they have 10 people show up after winning 9 games in 3 years, Tony. Has any team ever, I'm going to guess no, but has any team ever won as many games in a single season as they won the 3 previous years combined in the National Football League? I got to believe no.
It'd be tough.
Right, I mean, because first of all, how many teams have been in that position to win? Although Miami went from a 1-win team to like a 10-win team, when Chad Pennington got there. But I bet they won more than 9 games the 2 previous years combined, right?
Yeah.
That's a pretty daunting test. I know some people have predicted them to go 9-7. I'm not that bullish. We'll make our official predictions next week.
Sure.
But can't get to 16-0 until you beat the Panthers.
Well, that's true. You can't get to 16-0 without week one. So we'll see if they can take that first step. And you and I both think that they will against Carolina. And again, we're going to break that game down a lot next week. And Loggeman will be in on Tuesday. He'll take a look ahead at what Carolina's been doing in the preseason and what kind of matchups we can look forward to in that game coming up on Sunday as well. I think it's funny how much better you feel about a team when the offense looks good and you kind of ignore defensive problems. It's like, they don't have much pass rush. You know, there's some questions about what they're going to do in the secondary, but Bortles.
But have you seen the quarterback?
Right? It's like, and to have that feeling in the city of Jacksonville for the first time in I don't know how long that, we got this issue and this issue and this issue, but we may be able to overcome all that because we think we got a quarterback.
Right.
You know, and I don't think there's been that kind of confidence, and I hope it pays dividends immediately in the 2015 season, which is why I think they will beat Carolina, because I think it will. I think that Blake's going to be a good player this year.
641-1010. Anthony, you're next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you fellas doing?
Great.
Hey, here's my comment. I'm just a regular old Jaguar fan. I'm not really into all the stats, but nobody's really talked about Greg Olsen. From my point of view, when I profile somebody, that dude looks like he's mean as hell, and he's a football coach. Judd Fish, he didn't look like he looked like a golfer to me. I'll just take it off there from there.
All right. Well, hey, Judd Fish, 0-1, by the way, as right. The Michigan Wolverines only managed 17 points last night against the Utes of Utah. Greg Olsen is actually such a nice guy.
He really is.
He has an intense look about him, certainly. But Tony, we have talked about him because we talked about him in the sense that I see more receivers just running open, and I see schemes develop where, you know, there's looks like, oh, it's all congested, and all of a sudden, boom, the tight end pops wide open out in the flat. Mm-hmm. The receiver pops wide open on the second level, the intermediate level of the defense. Things that for years we've asked, why can't the Jags get some of that? Why does everything have to be so tough? Why do they have to catch everything with a man on their hip and catch, you know, like basically turn, catch, tackle, down, onto the next play? Now you're seeing guys catching it in the flow of running at full speed, and it just, I don't know how much is Blake's is sharper. These guys, young guys are, you know, finding their way in the National Football League, but clearly a new set of eyes, new set of offensive principles. A lot of the plays are the same. It's how you use them and how you play to the strengths of your personnel, particularly your quarterback. I think Greg Olsen's done a pretty solid job so far. And now, granted, it's only preseason.
Sure.
So Greg Olsen, if they get shut out for the first month of the season, nobody's going to be singing his praises. Hey, but remember the preseason. But that's all we have to go on at this moment.
And I don't think that's going to happen. I think the offense is going to be effective. So if this was like hockey, right, where after a hockey game you come out and you have the three stars of the night, right, and they come back out and do a curtain call for those guys, weeks 1 through 3 of the preseason, two of the guys that would have been my stars of the night, and you can rotate the third one however you want to, it would have been Bortles and Olsen. All 3 weeks, I would have had those guys as stars of the night for this football team because of how bad and lost and awful that offense looked for most of the season last year. It looked like it didn't have a direction, right? It was rudderless in what it was doing, and because of that, it left a young quarterback with a young offensive line and a bunch of young skill position guys looking completely lost out there on the field. What they look like this year in the preseason is they know what they want to accomplish. On whatever given play, given series, they look like they have an idea of not only what play we're going to run, but why we're running this play. And it's something we talked about throughout the offseason with Olsen. He's been talking philosophy with these guys a lot more than Judd Fish did when he was here last year with Blake Bortles and these young guys, where they were just trying to figure out exactly where everyone was in their own head. Instead, they're giving them the reasoning for why they're doing the things they're doing, and it looks like it's paying dividends early on. I expect it to continue when the regular season kicks off.
Back to the phone lines we go. Jim, you're up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I will say this. Joe did have the webcam going on, but we all chipped in and paid a bunch of money because we got tired of seeing you sit around.
You wanted to turn it off, didn't you? I got
you. Yeah, we paid it to turn it off, Vince.
I do shows on Sirius XM from my house, and you may have just described my work attire.
That's what I'm thinking. a couple things. One, when you listen to the Redskin stuff, you know, as many criticisms as Shad Khan gets around this town sometimes for some of the things, for thinking so big on a lot of things, Jack Kitcook's got to be spinning in his grave. Because Daniel Snyder has taken what was once a well-respected, you know, franchise and just made it kind of the laughing stock of the NFL. I mean, it really has, you know, just become such an afterthought for so many people outside of D.C. And that just makes me very thankful we have the owner we have. You know, that's one thing. But the other thing, one thing on the football side of this thing, I just don't understand, and I don't believe everybody needs validation from a Jaguar fan standpoint for what you feel as a fan. But if I read one more article about, well, the question is, does Blake Bortles get it? And can he handle understanding offense and reading defenses and everything else? And I'm sitting here going, has nobody watched him this year? I mean, it's like night and day difference between last year, you know, and this year. And I just, I don't know. I just, like the guy's, you know, the guy's talking about not having a chance against Carolina. You know, you cannot watch this team offensively and go, well, that's going to be the same team as you had last year. I just can't understand that. So, all right, guys, look, have a great weekend.
All right, buddy, you too. Appreciate it. Look, I don't feel the same way, but I get it. I do understand, Tony, when you've been, you know, last year, were we not excited about the season? Like, hey,
sure.
we weren't as excited because you hadn't seen, at least I, even the success Bortles had came against, you know, second teamers a lot in the preseason. It was a lot more helter-skelter. He played well, but now you feel like this is more repeatable, right? That this is something real, that it's not going to show up every week, but it's going to show up a majority of the time. And then, you know, you get into year three, year four, year five, then you become one of those guys that you're expecting it every single week. And
it feels like a skilled guy whose skills are developing.
Who's starting to put it together, starting to learn how to use them.
And that's a different feeling than anything you had on the offensive side of the ball, especially last year, going to the even as good as he looked in the preseason last year, it did feel a little helter-skelter at times what they were doing. It was just kind of Blake making plays out of nothing at times, and that's kind of what he did when he came in against Indianapolis week 3-2. I mean, the first big play he had was one where it should have been a sack, right? I mean, Chad Henne's dead to rights on that play, and he spins out and makes the play down the sideline to the fullback, and that's kind of what Blake did last year, too. He was at his best when he was allowed to improvise a little bit. This year doesn't feel like he needs to rely on that. It feels like those other things that you need to be a successful quarterback in this league have come around for him a little bit. He's a little more patient, and that goes into everything, right? That's the offensive line is better, so he's allowed to be more patient. The running game looks like it's better, so he's allowed to depend on that a little bit more. And you got a bunch of guys who have developed going into their second year as well at that wide receiver position, too. I mean, it's all of that coming together at the same time, and that was the thought process last year, too. It's they wound up putting all those young guys on the field at the same time, hoping that it would develop a little bit like this. And it looks like early on in preseason, at least, that it is.
Despite the fact that I agree with you, I'm not going to call anyone who thinks who's not buying it crazy, because that fool me once, fool me twice, shame on you, shame on me whole kind of scenario. I get it. If you would have told me last year they're going to win fewer games than the season before, I would have thought you were nuts, and yet they did. So I'm not going to tell you you're crazy. I just don't agree with you, and maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I am buying it. Maybe I'm, you know, going all in and drinking the Kool-Aid and pumping the sunshine and every other thing and cutting the meat and whatever.
Wait and see is fair. You know, and I think this team has earned a wait-and-see attitude from its fan base. I think they've certainly earned that with the results they've gotten in the last 3 years.
News of cuts coming in. This one, the Tampa Bay Bucs have released 2011 second-round pick Daquan Bowers. He had just re-signed a one-year deal in July. Just never really seemed to live up to it, right, in Tampa. They thought he was going to have a promising future. I think he got hurt at some point. I don't remember his entire backstory on why he didn't, hasn't followed him particularly closely, but a name, a relatively well-known name, pretty high draft pick, position group if need, if not specifically. You know, isn't Bowers more of a tackle than an end at this point? I guess you would need a little bit of tackle depth, depending on Ziggy. I'm trying to think if Bowers played more end or tackle down in Tampa, and I honestly can't remember. But regardless, these are the kind of guys, along with everybody else that gets released, that the Jags and every other team will be looking at. And right now, the Jags have a very high waiver priority, so they can get just about anyone they put a claim in on. The question is, will someone entice them enough to make that move right before the start of the season? We will find out. Coming back, we'll find out what you think on the Jags' chances and how they've changed in your eyes, good or bad. Your perception of this team, your expectations, how have the preseason impacted that? We'll get into the fan feedback spotlight coming up next. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I'm excited. You know, I'm excited because so much is said on the outside by people that's never played this game before. You know, so many people will count you out, you know, and you know, me going into my 10th year and feeling like I do now, you know, I'm just excited, humbled by it, and, you know, I'm ready to game plan and go out there and show people what we've been working on.
That's Mercedes Lewis with Jeff Loggeman in the locker room last night at FedEx Field, Landover, Maryland, Tony, where they put the press box behind one of the end zones.
Yeah.
So it's nice of them. What's going on. They don't care. That's all right. You know, I'm not going to make a big thing of this, but obviously it's self-serving for me to have the opposite viewpoint of Mercedes Lewis because of the position we're in. When he says, you know, so many things said by so many people that don't play football. Do you need eyes? I mean, do you need more than eyes? Do you have to have played football? And Pete Prisco said it all the time, and others have as well. I don't need to be a chef to tell you what tastes good, right? I could be a food critic. Not every food critic has gone to a culinary institute.
Sure.
Not every movie critic has been a director or a producer of a film. In fact, probably most haven't been.
True.
So, I mean, I can see that Mercedes Lewis, yeah, he had that 10-touchdown season. Fantastic. Also had tons of drops, highlighted by the one that you called so brilliantly in the press box one day. I mean, just call the play. Here's what they're going to do.
Three plays early.
Right, here's what they're going to do. They're going to do this. They're going to do this. And then on third down, Mercedes will drop a wide-open touchdown in the end zone. And he, every single play, bing, 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 they were quite predictable.
Yeah, they were.
At least in that sequence. But whatever.
That's the last time they had to have a conversation with us about our noise level. Was after that particular series.
Right. Dan Edwards came down. Excuse me, this is supposed to be a professional environment.
Yeah.
And oh, really? Okay. Why am I here?
Tell Bill Polian.
Look, yeah, tell Bill Polian. Tell Bill Polian to stop cursing over my shoulder here. All right? Anyway, you know, that whole, you know, I'm getting criticized. I don't care what people think. You know, look, criticism can be legit. It doesn't have to come. Did Bill Belichick play in the NFL, Tony? I don't think he did.
I don't think so.
Okay. Is he qualified to judge you?
But he's been around football for so long.
Okay. But he didn't play, right? I mean, that's what, you know, I get it. If I was a player, I'd probably feel the same way. Who are these guys running their mouth into a microphone? Look, I hope Mercedes Lewis goes out and breaks his record for touchdown catches.
Whatever gets you up for
year.
Sunday afternoon, man.
Fine.
However you got to get in that headspace, get there. I don't care.
Let's get to the fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, Tony. We asked Jaguar fans today, have your expectations changed, good or bad, and why? Based on the Jags' preseason performance, what did we get?
From Chris, yes, I'll be honest, I didn't expect our offense to look as good as it has. Hashtag blind optimism. From Eric, no, not really. If anything, it confirmed what I wanted to see. Still think 6-10, 7-9 range. From Isaiah, not at all. Hashtag no limits. From Duval Doom, no, we're still going undefeated. From Desert Duval, much more optimistic, 7-9, possibly 8-8 with improved offense. Hashtag getting better. From left leaning, we are only able to attend end of season games this year. We might even see playoff relevant football. From T-Mock, we got Bortles is going to the Hall of Fame. From David, no, it has confirmed my expectations. I agree with Dave Caldwell that the core of this team is on the roster. From Paul, yes, offense looks way better than expected, defense worse. Maybe one game better total, hashtag 7 wins. And from Irish Jag, I'm expecting a lot less from the defense and a good bit more from the offense than I was.
A few on Facebook. Steve Muncy said no, 6 wins at the most. Daniel Stewart said, I still expect 7-9 wins, so that hasn't changed. My expectations of the defense have changed because they weren't great in the preseason as I expected them to be. Eric Mushler said, yes, I see a much more poised and mature Bortles. Offensive line looks much better. The defense looks okay. At least now, if the other team scores 17 or more, we might have a chance with the much improved offense. Derek Stewart said, no, I still expect to listen to 15 hours of radio, read a terabyte of articles, and watch 2 hours of video for every 3 hours of football. Hashtag Jaguars today. That's how it's done.
You got it.
Right? You consume it. And boy, does the NFL love you. Damon Bunt said the holes in the offensive line seem to be fixed, and Bortles has clearly developed during the offseason. Josh Wigan says, I was pleasantly surprised by the depth of talent that was displayed by wide receivers in the preseason. I expected Bortles to throw between 15 to 20 touchdowns. However, even with the loss of Julius Thomas, I think he can throw well north of 20. I have high hopes for Allen Hurns, and that has nothing to do with the fact that I just invested in a number 88 jersey. Ian Smith said, yes, more confirmation. I was hoping to be at 8-8 or better. Now I expect that outcome, but it's still all about Bortles, and he looks like he's going to be a good quarterback. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag real sports talk radio. Okay.
You got it.
As opposed to fake sports talk radio, baby. Let's see. Frederick went with, as Blake goes, so goes the team. Therefore, of course, if the defense plays as well as they did at times last year, they challenge for a wild card spot. Dan Moreland said, I don't think it raised the bar, but confirmed what we had hoped for. We've been saying they could get 7-8 wins, and now it looks like what we thought it would. I still think 7-8 wins would be a good season. And finally, from Damon, no, it hasn't changed my expectation of this year and the accomplishments this team can and will achieve. They will go 10-6 or 11-5. This team, who every analyst from ESPN to Fox Sports to NFL Network hates on, will explode and shock the world. They don't want to show us respect. Then we'll beat it out of them. Let it be said. Let it be written. Hashtag Jack Move. What? Hashtag Jack Move. What the heck's that mean?
I don't know.
That's what it says. Is he trying to write Jaguars today and it autocorrected to Jack Move?
I don't. That's a weird auto.
I have no idea. I was right there with him until Jack Move, and I don't know where to go from there. So Damon has been consistently enthusiastic for that double-digit victory.
Yes, he has.
You know.
What about you? Change it all?
I think, again, yes, in the... Before it was like, all right, which teams can they beat? Certain teams you feel like they can beat. Now you feel like, boy, if the offense is going to have some days, they might hang 30 points out there. Now, I'm not saying they're going to average 30 points.
No.
But they can have some explosive, productive
days. But averaging
days.
22 feels
relevant. Are you
kidding me? Right? Like, it feels like that's
like a real football team.
Like part of the conversation for this team this year, that they could potentially be that kind of team offensively.
Absolutely. So we'll get into official predictions next week as we get ready for the Carolina Panthers. Obviously, we're off Labor Day on Monday. So
yeah.
We wish everyone a happy weekend. Thanks to Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato. Thanks to Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor. A couple of quick notes. Catch Tony tonight.
Yeah.
On the Episcopal call, as he's up in Savannah tonight. It's going to be a long day because when we leave here, after we say hello to the boys of XL Primetime, we're heading over to the CW 17 studios and filming the Your Jacks Fantasy Football Show, which will air tomorrow night at 11 p.m. That'll be its normal Saturday time, but really the focus is now on bringing it to Sunday mornings. When you're making some lineup decisions, it'll air Sunday mornings at 11:30 as well, both of those on CW 17. So check it out, the Your Jacks Fantasy Football Show. And starting next week, you can tweet Tony and I your fantasy lineup questions, and we'll deal with some of those, not only on the TV show, but a week from yesterday, next Thursday. It would have been a more elegant way to say it. Next Thursday, we start the FanDuel Fantasy Forecast. FanDuel coming on as our primary sponsor. That will air on 1010XL and 92.5 FM from 2 until 3 o'clock on Thursday. We're going to have, obviously, fantasy news that's relevant for you to use. We'll talk about the top plays of the week, guys to avoid. We'll do a special 5 minutes every week on guys to exploit when you're playing FanDuel, because we hope you play against us head-to-head every single week, and then we'll take your calls and tweets and answer your lineup questions as well. So,
absolutely, yeah.
There you have it. I will see you over at the TV studio shortly, sir. For all the aforementioned, this is Mike Dempsey signing off Jaguars Today. Thanks again to Claude Nolan Cadillac, Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. XL Primetime coming up next right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. What's that, you say? You talk about playing in these weekly fantasy football leagues? That's right. We're going to be talking a lot about them on the FanDuel Fantasy Forecast starting next Thursday from 2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and every Thursday throughout the football season. Really getting you ready to take on the FanDuel.com experience and win some money this year. I mean, serious money is being won. $75 million a week is what FanDuel's paying out during football season alone. Over $1 billion they'll pay out this football season. It's scary how big the money is. Go to FanDuel.com right now, and you'll see a microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Just click that, and FanDuel will let you put in my first name, Mike, M-I-K-E, and when you do, they'll match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200, money that will get released the more you play. And the best thing about it, go head-to-head with Tony and I at FanDuel.com/Mike. You can sign up for our listener league that will max out at 250 people, so it's going to fill up next week. FanDuel.com/Mike to go head-to-head with us, and use promo code Mike anytime you go to FanDuel.com. You got to be playing at FanDuel.com.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
That's great job!